This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Power Hour on Packer and Durham. Let's get started with conference cuts, shall we?
Yep.
Off to Chestnut Hill. Zion Johnson.
Star.
Woo! Talked about the red bandana game and how it can give the Eagles a bit of a push to start the stretch run in November.
I think in a sense, having the red bandana near the end of the season is like a red bandana game. It's like a thing that kind of propels us through the end of the season. You know, that emotion, you know, the feelings we feel from what Wells did, you know, is something that definitely drives us throughout the rest of the season. So, yeah, you know, we love playing the red bandana game in November.
BC, by the way, has given up 15 sacks in the four-game skid after only allowing two through the first four. That guy is chiseled out of granite, by the way, talking at the microphone.
That is a Sunday dude.
Oh, yeah.
Is what
that guy is.
And for BC, you mentioned perfect in September, winless in October, and emotion tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Something's got to give.
All right, let's stay with the offensive line vibe, shall we, here? Next stop, Blacksburg. Lasita Smith has been outstanding for Virginia Tech in the offensive line. Malachi Thomas has sparked the run game. And Smith talked about what makes that freshman running back so special.
So, on the field, I really respect him because he's a young guy, but he listens. And that's really the key when you're a young guy coming in. It's hard to play. For one, it's hard to play at this level, period, whether you're a young guy or old guy. But especially as a young guy, the only way you're really going to get on that field is if you listen to the coaches and do everything they ask you to do. And it's the same for those older guys. If we tell you, do this this way or do this a certain way, your best bet is to listen. You know, we've been doing this for, you know, some time now. So he's a guy that, you know, he listens, doesn't talk much. He has zero ego. That's what I like the most about him. It's nothing worse than a young guy that has an ego because of what he did in high school, you know, but he's not like that. So I really like that about him. So on the field, he's a go-getter. He's a dog. He does everything that's asked of him. Off the field, I feel like I've said two words to him, which is, what's up, Malachonis? Hey, man, what's up? Like, he's real, real quiet. That's literally how he is. Hey, man, what's up? Like, I barely hear him talk off the field. He's a quiet guy, so, you know, we haven't really hung out or anything like that yet. But, yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm thinking.
What's the matter?
We got to get him on the show.
He has never appeared. Not yet.
Yeah. Make a note.
Call Pete up there.
Pete Morris, our guy.
Yeah. Sports information people. Taking care of people.
Yep.
People.
Lasita Smith would be fun, wouldn't he?
It seems like it. Like a real personable guy behind the microphone.
We had a good time there. Jermaine Johnson is next.
Had him last week, and what did he do? He scored.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, too. Consecutive week, we've had a defensive player on Packer and Durham, and that game, the next game.
So you're saying Jordan Williams is next.
All I'm saying is Servassier was on the show.
Jermaine Johnson.
What did he do? Took it to the house.
Jermaine Johnson.
Against Clemson. Also, Jermaine Johnson shows up on the show. What did he do? Against Clemson, took it to the house. If I was a Louisville guy, I'd say, hey, we're putting a defensive guy on the Packer and Durham show. Go for 3 weeks in a row here.
Cats ought to be fighting to get to this show.
I wouldn't think so.
They'll be beating up Rocco Gasparo to get to the studio.
Exactly right.
Next stop is Tallahassee. Jermaine Johnson explains that he's only focused on one thing entering the final month of the season.
Like I said, I'm here to sell out for this team and the university. I'm not one of those guys. I'm going to try to give everything I got to the program. And I mean, that just comes down to who I am as a man and a character. You know, I just believe in being loyal. So who's loyal to you? And, you know, this team has been nothing but loyal to me and the program and the coaches. So, I mean, I'm here to stay and I'm here to help this team win games.
Obviously was asked about his status following the season.
I like the way he handles his business. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed him when he was on the show. He's been awesome to watch for the Noles. He just kind of handles himself like a pro. Really does.
It's also on the end of loyalty and here to play for my city and my school, probably appropriate to mention that Chuba Purdy entered the transfer portal yesterday. I don't get this part. That y'all are going to have to help me down the road. The four-game thing, I understand. I don't necessarily like it to preserve the red shirt. This part about 8-10 games in, I'm not quite sure.
I'm all for the student athlete having right. as much power and control as he or she can.
But
there reaches a point of absurdity
and
with
we're
the
there.
Transfer portal.
We're there.
And you now see it front and center where, hey, I'm out of here. It's November. Where are you going?
And maybe Purdy has played in four games and doesn't want to play in any more. But
there's also a way to handle that.
That's
too.
Exactly right. And if we need to set up, you know, the old free agency deadline in college football like they have in the NFL and the, you know, NBA and maybe, fine. But this 9-10 game business,
I'm with you.
Come on. What are we doing?
Of course.
And yeah, I'm looking at you, Indianapolis. You well, created this. You can put a rule in.
Of course, we're also looking at a time and place too where coaches are no longer making it to the end of the year.
Whew.
Right? Yeah. We've seen that as well. So we're living in different times, man. It's just totally different.
We got to quit acting old. Maybe that's it.
No, I just say, again, common sense gets lost sometimes. That's my issue.
If you want to leave, at least, you know, let the regular season end. If your team were to go to postseason and you don't want to be a part of the excursion, fine. I get that. But let the regular season come to a close.
Yeah,
I mean, we got cats opting out of bowls for whatever.
Finish what you started.
Right. At least appease us on that. Trent Penix in Raleigh is next. Talk about God, it's emerged here.
Sure
has. We spent some time, Bam Knight, Jordan Houston, you know, Ricky Person. Don't forget old Trent Penix. And by the way, Trent Penix, one of those older guys, he's enthusiastic about where the Wolfpack finds themselves headed to Saturday afternoon in Tallahassee.
You know how special we are. And how special we're going to be in future years. But, like, we just know this team this year is very special. And we all can call each other our brothers because we always play for each other. And just like Coach Goebel talks about every morning, like, you know, you're one of 11, but you're still one. Like, you got to make sure you do your one to help the other 10 on the field. So I take that really personal. So I believe if we just keep playing for each other, staying loyal, loyal to the process, everything is going to fall in place. You know, Coach Doran talked about it. You know, we have the pen, and it's our chance to write our story. So we're just trying to write our story to the very end, and only we can control that and nobody else.
I got the pen, Pac.
Well, what he said at the very end, we just talked about in control. You know what? Wake Forest is the great spot. They control their destiny. So does NC State. Just went out.
Yeah.
You went out, you're good to go.
NC State trying to win an ACC championship for the first time since 1979.
Well, you know, when Dave Dorn and NC State knocked off Clemson back in September, he talked about breaking the curse. The curse is 79. The curse is that NC State football fans have made a commitment for a long, long time. All you got to do is walk around Carter Finley. I remember what it was like when I was a kid because I was a big NC State fan growing up. And you look at what they have built, how they have supported that program, and the fact that they've not won a title, they've not brought hardware back home since 1979, that is the curse, Wes. So they got a chance to do something about November. We'll see how all this stuff plays out.
Next on the list, Sam Howell, who talked about his relationship with Sam Hartman going into Saturday's showdown at Keenan Stadium at high noon.
I love Sam. He's a good friend of mine. We work out together sometimes, and you know, he's an awesome player. You know, I'm so happy for him and the season he's having. So he's been super fun to watch, and you know, I'm pulling for him every single week except for this one. But not it is a cool thing. Just kind of go out there from a competitive standpoint. You know, he wants to beat me. I want to beat him. So it's going to be a lot of fun out there on Saturday.
That football game will not be finished in 3 hours and 15 minutes.
There's no chance. I don't know what ESPN is or ABC is showing at 3:30, but it will be JIP'd.
Yeah.
Joined in progress.
We're going to sling it.
We're going to start that one over on the app for you, kids.
Yeah, you're going to have to find something else because that's going to be about – that's got to be about 3:45 right there.
Yeah, 3:45.
Maybe longer.
Yeah.
You throw in, I'll tell you what, you throw two targeting calls in there, you can go four.
Yeah. I think it's one of those Big 12 games following Carolina. Oh, Oklahoma State, West Virginia.
Well, that'd be a good game too, by the way.
I'll tell you what, though. It'll be late.
It's going to be
late.
It'll
be a JIP.
There's going to be a ton of points scored in Chapel Hill.
You'll start that one on the app over on ESPN News.
Yep. Count on it.
All right, we wrap up our player edition of Conference Cuts with Kenny Pickett, who responded to some comments about running back Rodney Hammond. And the assistant coach, Tim Salem, offered up a description of Rodney Hammond.
Salem told us last week that Hammond reminded him of a Mountain Dew can. He's just a little guy with energy. What's impressed you about the way he's kind of picked everything up and the way he plays?
Yeah, Coach Salem probably said that because he's like addicted to Mountain Dews. He's got about 100 of them in his office. But I'd say that's about right. I mean, you look at Rodney's size, but kind of reminds me of watching Deion Lewis's tape, I think. From when he was our game captain, you see a lot of similarities with how he plays and how hard he runs. So he's done a great job.
We are due for a Kenny Pickett appearance, aren't
we? It's tough. He's outgrown it.
You think so?
Oh yeah, he's up that way.
I know. I mean, we were rooting for him.
He's like game day and all that now.
You don't think he's going to come visit?
No,
us
I think he would. You worry about his time. I mean, he's got other demands. EJ Borghetti. Talk about thank your SID.
Another guy.
That guy is awesome.
Yeah.
Kenny's got a lot going on. He's got the Packer and Durham hat. His work's done here.
but we can't let this go by.
No, we won't. I'm sure EJ will take care of us.
I mean, listen, I know they're thinking, hey, we plan on being in Charlotte.
Right.
We'll see eyeball to eyeball here in about a month.
Yeah, we'll see.
In fact, 1 month from today is go time, right?
That's right, yeah.
Championship Saturday is 1 month from today.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't had a Kenny Pickett fix during the season.
No. Salem calling Rodney Hammond a Mountain Dew can?
I like it. I like it.
That's a great line. By the way, Salem is the tight ends coach at Pittsburgh. Perfect description.
Happy for Kenny Pickett, man. He is you've heard almost everybody played against him this year said, man, what a smart business decision it was for him to come back. And maybe a catalyst for future players to look and say, you know what? Kenny Pickett decided he could have taken some money, gone to the NFL, wore baseball cap backwards, holding a clipboard probably for a while.
Right.
But you know what? He loves college football. He's decided to come back, and man alive, did he make some coin this year.
He did. No question.
Good for him.
On the other side, we dive into this week's edition of True or False, the voice of consecutive victories joins us, Pack. Josh Macri will host this fine segment when Packer and Durham continues on this, the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
In Durham on a Thursday, 844-SAY-ACCN. Sean McDonough is coming up here in about 15 minutes
or
so.
That won't be funny, by the way.
He's always good, man.
Yeah.
Always good. But right now, Wes, we head up to Bristol, Connecticut, home of the smart people. The voice of multiple victories, as you mentioned, back-to-backs.
Back-to-back over consecutive 500 victories.
Life is good in central New York. There he is, Josh Macri. What's happening?
How are we doing?
We're good. How are you?
Come on now, multiple consecutive conference victories here. Let's go. Come on.
That was an exciting Saturday last week.
Bye week.
Bye week, yeah.
Focus, refocus.
Can't lose this week, right?
You know, Macri, we've come a long way months.
Yep.
Because a couple months ago, that was just not happening. Thoughts of being over 500, late November, what bowl are we going to? Exciting action. That was not on the docket a couple months ago. Now it's a little bit different story up there in Bristol, Connecticut.
True. Which brings us to true or false. And speaking of consecutive victories, we'll start with a native of Central New York, Dave Clawson, who, believe it or not, in his tenure at Wake Forest has never finished over 500 in the month of November. Now, he has finished at 500 a couple of times, but never over 500. So, true or false, the Deacons will have a winning record in the month of November for the first time in Coach Clawson's tenure.
Oh,
true. I'm going true.
I will go true as well.
Going with the vibe. And there's just sometimes the team's just got it, right? Now, I don't know if they can win all of them. But the question is, could they have a winning month?
Yes.
True.
Yes.
They can.
But they're also in a position where it only takes one if the other guy holds his rope. And it's the right game.
Right.
There's one game here that turns everything. So, by the way, the soft piano music while Sam Hartman's throwing touchdowns. That was
what,
awesome.
What was that?
Vic Damone.
What was that?
I don't know.
Wow.
That was awesome.
That threw me off. I was like, what show just happened
here? That's why Jen Malkovich is the best.
That was a fake left, go right move right there. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Macri's recovering. All right, Josh, next question.
All right.
We both said true.
You guys didn't like those tunes?
No, Vic Damone. We were at the Keys.
Just wasn't expecting it. It's like coming out of break. I'm waiting for dog walking music, and I got
Bobby Short on the Keys.
Yeah, the Rat Pack's over here with Mrs. P's rocket ship smoking cigars. What's going on over here?
Keep you on your toes.
What's happening?
Why don't you write that one? Why don't y'all put that one in the time capsule for next Thursday's show?
Wow.
All right, go ahead. Sorry.
All right, next one. Virginia has a chance to finish the season with the conference's leading passer and leading receiver in terms of yardage. Brennan Armstrong in first place right now by a wide margin. Dontavian Wicks second with 972 receiving yards. True or false, the Hoos will finish 1-1 in those two categories for the first time since 1973.
True. They're going to sling it. I just hope Brennan Armstrong's not ready to go. I worry about the ribs a little bit because it's been kind of quiet this week on that front. But I'm assuming he's back and this music isn't. And next thing you know, I'm going to go true with the answer to this question.
I'm going to go.
I feel like I have a dental appointment.
I will go true as well. And anytime we can talk about Scott Gardner.
Oh, there's a name.
You know what? We need some pictures. We need the Scott Gardner pictures of the drop back. You remember the 70s player photos?
They were the greatest.
See if I can find one.
I love those.
I think I found one. I got to send it to him. Scott Gardner, Harrison Davis,
by the way.
And
they're always looking afar.
I know they're going to throw it 90 yards.
Right. I'm going to look over here.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. So
is that not dental music, though? Seriously.
That was totally dental music.
That was like, Mr. Packer, the root canal will start in approximately 4 minutes.
That is correct. So, yes, I'm going to go true. Armstrong and Dontavian Wicks will capture the title.
That Mr. Wicks, by the way, is a three-time wide receiver U winner. Three-time winner.
Jim Daves will have that in the notes.
Should be.
Next week.
Should be. Every ACC SID should have something tied into wide receiver.
Hashtag thank your SID.
Yep.
All right. Next.
Jim Daves, not only a great SID, but also very skilled with the Photoshops, as
that's
we saw
exactly
last week
right.
With the golf cart photos.
True.
Is correct, yes. All right, next.
Sam Howell right now is sitting on three games with 300 passing yards and 100 rushing yards. He's the first player to do that since Kyler Murray did so in 2018. True or false, he'll do it one more time before the season is over.
True.
Let me sync the schedule again.
Benny Goodman. Plays your ACC Network hits.
Wake Pitt State.
I love this segment now.
Wait, can you get 100 yards rushing? And I know he's going to throw, but can you get 100 yards
rushing? What if Wofford drops 8 and rushes 3, Pack?
I forgot about Wofford.
Thank you.
No, that's true.
Okay.
Wofford can't block and tackle me. I'd go for $150 on Wofford.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes, I would.
No,
with a bad toe, bad knee, and a good attitude.
Pack, you'd be 100 yards to the mailbox or less.
I'd get $150 on Wofford. That's true. True for Sam Howell.
There we go. All right.
No respect for the Terriers, huh?
None. Love the mascot. Just don't think they can tackle.
Right. Let's go down the road to Raleigh, where Devin Leary has not thrown an interception in his last 211 pass attempts. That takes us all the way back to week 2. True.
Okay.
True or false, though, Mr. Leary will not throw another interception for the remainder of the season.
Oh, false. That's false.
False. False.
I thought you were going to go this weekend and put the West Durham jinx at stake.
False.
False. Yeah, somebody's going to get him. Somebody gets you once.
Yep.
Nobody's gotten them in 2 months.
I understand. It's called the do factor. That's what that's called. The do. I mean, all great streaks eventually come to an end. Every one of them. I don't care who you think you are. Eventually it ends.
Yep.
He's been terrific. But somebody will get an INT eventually on Mr. Leary before we get to December.
So there you go.
Does that count as the West Durham reverse jinx? And where you go, Wes? We're not done here yet.
Oh, sorry.
Well, Wes is ready to go.
No, I wasn't ready to go.
He's got things to do.
All right. Go ahead. Yes, it may be reverse jinx, but I'm sorry, Devin. It's just where we are.
All right. Last one. We talked earlier in the week about the Maxwell Award and how the ACC leads all conferences with four Maxwell Award semifinalists. It's twice as many as any other conference. True. But true or false, one of those four semifinalists specifically, one of those four will also be a Heisman Trophy finalist.
True. We'll get one. And people will say, well, is there a top five Heisman guy? Well, it's a television show too, folks. Don't ever forget that. And sometimes the differential can be three. I think the Heisman race will be really interesting. But I think there'll be one of those four in New York.
To be determined as far as who's going to have the hardware. That's why November will be so much fun. And what I think has been as entertaining a year of college football as I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
Just the unpredictable nature of Saturdays.
Right.
The incredible storylines from an individual standpoint.
Yep.
The Heisman is to be determined one way or the other. But as far as the ACC getting one there, yeah, I think that'll happen.
No, I'm with you on that. So, true or false? Thanks, Josh. Appreciate it. And we had lovely accompaniment, didn't we?
That was outstanding.
I think we should go with that on true or false every week, don't you?
Whatever makes you happy.
I tell you what we're going to go with in minutes now. Sean McDonough will join us, friend of the show. Been with us several times, always great. He'll have the Deacons and the Tar Heels Saturday at high noon from Chapel Hill. And he joins us next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Thursday. The next segment is guaranteed to be funny and informative.
That's right.
We might have failed for the first 2.5 hours, but we will not over the next 15 minutes.
Should we dispel the rumor? I'll tell you what. Let's just start the visit. Sean McDonough will be with Todd Blackledge, Molly McGrath on Saturday at Kenan Stadium in Chapel Hill, and he's good enough to join us this morning. Oh, lovely Whisper Rock. Love it. Thank you. Well done, sir. Good to have you with us.
Well, I think you guys are talking to me, and I'm just getting a message on a loop that says I am talking to an operator in Bristol, Connecticut, who will replace the audio feed. It just went away, so I'm hopeful that maybe somebody on your end just fixed it. Hello, guys.
Can you now hear us?
I can hear you now.
Okay.
Good. I probably missed such a warm, glowing introduction while I was listening to.
Actually, you did. Real quick here, before we get going, and I know basketball starts next week, would you like to confirm or deny the allegation that you're doing hockey to get away from Billis?
Confirm, completely. If only we had hockey 15 years ago, it would have saved me a lot of aggravation.
Well, here
I would say money, but as I've said many times, and it pains me to do that on this program and elsewhere, Jay is actually a very generous guy. He's the guy you want to go to dinner with after the game because he's so eager to pay the check, in fact, as we call the anti-raftery, that he will give the waiter or waitress his credit card when you walk in so that there's no argument when the bill actually comes. So now I will miss working with Jay. I'll miss Big Monday. I was thinking about it as I started seeing emails go around all the ESPN basketball people about the start of the season and realizing this is going to be the first time probably since the late 80s that I will not do college basketball. But really excited about the hockey.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, maybe this will become a better question. Do you think that the end of the North Carolina-Wake Forest football game on Saturday will finish in time so you can do hockey?
I'm supposed to meet some people after the game for dinner. It's a Duke homecoming weekend as well, as you know, 8 miles away. So meeting some Duke people after their game, so which also starts at noon. So I'm hopeful I'll be on time for dinner, but it should be fun. I just watched kind of condensed highlights of the game from last year, and it's remarkable how exciting that game was, how wild it was, and I think it has a chance to be similar. I don't know if it'll be 59-53 or whatever it was, but I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I just saw on the crawl here on ESPN that the over-under is 76.5, so that's something like a 40-37 game, which is still pretty high-scoring. So, and I think that's probably about right. We'll get something like that.
Sean, this game, you guys are perfect to call it. You and Todd, because of his acumen with quarterbacks especially. And while they are clearly the headline guys, Sam Howell and Sam Hartman, oftentimes we find ourselves in these games and it becomes somebody else. And Mark and I were talking earlier about run games, be it Christian Beal-Smith on Wake's side, one of three guys who are carrying the ball, or maybe even Ty Chandler for Carolina. You feel like somebody else always kind of makes a move in a game like this.
Yeah, you do. Or when you think it's two offenses, you know, it's the defenses that make a big play, get a couple takeaways, score a touchdown on defense. So I think you're right. You know, we were talking about that a couple weeks ago when we had Pitt and Clemson. You know, it was the Clemson second-ranked scoring defense in America against Pitt's second-ranked scoring offense. So maybe it would actually be when the other sides of the ball are on the field for their respective teams. So that could well be it. You know, I'm really curious to watch Wake Forest play in person. Yeah, I think there are people around the country who have questions about how good they are, and I think those will be answered starting on Saturday. I think it's an interesting short-term answer, at least, relative to the odds makers that we just referenced, that they have North Carolina as a favorite against the undefeated number 9 team in the country. So that wouldn't suggest that those who wager on these events have a lot of faith in Wake Forest status as a top 10 team, but we'll find out. I will confess to this. I had no idea when we got assigned this game and sort of half lobbied for it that it was actually not a conference game, which seems a little odd, but hey, I get it. You know, they weren't scheduled to play a conference game. They're longtime rivals. They like playing each other. They have a lot of commonalities. It's a short trip. Their fans like when they get together. So let's play, even if it's not a game in the conference standings. It's still meaningful.
Sean, in the middle of the summer, if you take a look at the schedule, you probably said, well, hey, you got Wake Forest, North Carolina. There's a possibility one of these teams is going to be in the top 10. There's another team that's sitting there fighting to try to become bowl bound. Probably wouldn't have got the correct answer that it's Wake Forest in the top 10 and North Carolina at 500. But we talked about this earlier today on the show. There will be different pressures on both of these teams. Yeah, they're rivals. They know each other, all that great stuff. And it's an easy road trip from Winston-Salem to Chapel Hill, but a different universe on Wake Forest, right? Top 10, first time ever. Poll comes out this week. They're 9th. Forget about just an ACC championship. Now you're thinking big picture. And for North Carolina, nobody in their right mind would have thought, man, North Carolina's not going to a bowl game. Well, they got to win two more. Yeah, they got Wofford in their back pocket down the road here, but they got to steal one somewhere. And it starts this weekend against Wake Forest.
Yeah, for sure. Both of these teams have a very tough schedule left. So I think that will be what helps determine what happens to me at the end, happens to them at the end of the road here. You know, I did not think it, you know, when you're right, Pack, I mean, North Carolina was ranked number 10 in the AP preseason poll. So, you know, they've been exactly replaced by Wake Forest, who's number 10 in the AP poll. And as you said, one spot better than that in the college football playoff. But, I'm not just saying this with revisionist history. When I saw the preseason poll, I said, how could North Carolina be number 10, given everybody they lost off last year's team, you know, especially on the offensive side with the running backs and receivers. Now, having said that, I just got done watching the Notre Dame-North Carolina tape. Josh Downs is the first time I really watched him a lot. He's a really good player. I mean, he's clearly one of the best wide receivers in the country. But, yeah, I think it was unrealistic to have them ranked number 10 in the preseason, and I think Mack Brown knew that as soon as the first game. I think we all remember when they lost to Virginia Tech, and he said, maybe we're a little overrated or something to that effect, and I thought to myself, yeah. Now, on the other hand, nothing that a Dave Clawson team does ever surprises me. I've said this for several years, and probably will say it again Saturday, because I say it every time we have a game that involves one of his teams. I think he's the most underappreciated, outstanding coach in the country. You know, all the guy does is win everywhere he goes, a lot of places. They hadn't done much before he got there. And then they haven't done a lot since he left. I mean, Bowling Green would like to have him back right now. That's for sure. I just think he's great. I think he's a great fit at Wake Forest for, you know, everything that he represents as a person and the importance of academics. You know, a lot of coaches talk about, well, it's important that we do well in the classroom. You know, Dave means it when he says, I just think he's a great coach, and not surprised. You know, when you look at the things, right, that demonstrate good coaching, they don't turn it over. They take the ball away. You know, they don't hurt themselves a lot. I think he's outstanding. So nothing that one of his teams does really surprises me.
Sean, I want to spend a minute on Clawson because you point out correctly. I mean, everywhere he's been a head coach, Bowling Green, Fordham, Richmond, I mean, he's been successful. There's no question about it. Now, all of a sudden, Wake Forest is matching the intensity, though, of major college football. I mean, they just announced a $20 million lead gift last week. A single alum, Bob McCreary, has contributed $55 million total to Wake Forest. I mean, yeah. It's an amazing they're now backing it up to support what Clawson has done. And you and I know, and Mark knows this too, not every coach in the ACC can say that as they win, the support follows them in terms of facilities and infrastructure and things like that. This feels a little different at Wake Forest. This feels like Wake Forest is kind of got some sustainability about them now as a program.
I really agree with that. You know, they already had the Sutton Performance Center too, which, as you guys know, was already a major step forward for them in terms of facilities. You know, it's tough being as small a school as they are with the academic bent that they have. Not that the other ACC schools don't, because obviously that's one of the things that I believe separates the ACC is the academic quality of the institutions. Not the least of which being the Harvard of Central New York, as we have said about the Central <country. laughs> But I also think, you know, like I remember, and I was saying this to our group on a text exchange the other night, you know, when Syracuse went into the ACC, I thought, wow, that's going to be really hard in football. I mean, with Florida State and Miami, well, now, you know, you're almost on par with those schools, aren't you? And that's not saying that they don't have a better chance to come back than maybe some of these other schools do, you know, due to, again, the geography being in Florida and the natural recruiting base with all that great talent down there. Although now they're fending off everybody because all of these top schools are recruiting nationally. But it just doesn't seem quite as hard with those two in particular being down for some of these other schools like Wake Forest or Syracuse or others. You know, I think Boston College, you and I talked about this, Wes, mm-hmm. when you had a BC game or texted about it a couple weeks ago. I think they were going to have the kind of – I'm not saying they would have had the season Wake Forest is having right now, but if their quarterback didn't get hurt, they wouldn't be sitting here at 4-4 either. So I think for schools like that, you know, it doesn't seem like it's such a stretch to imagine, you know, being really competitive and winning the ACC in football. Of course, Clemson's still there. I think this is a one-year glitch. You know, I think they're going to go back to being Clemson very quickly, and they're still be the you know, the mountaintop that you have to climb. But I think for everybody else, it's more doable than maybe we would have thought a few years ago.
By the way, I love when Blackledge does a little taste of the town. We got any sneak preview of where he's heading in Chapel Hill or our surrounding area? Do we know what we're doing?
Yeah, I believe it's surrounding area. He said it on our call the other day, and I didn't remember it. You know, I think he intentionally brings me stuff that he thinks I don't want to eat just so I can be more cranky than usual on national TV. We went to Acre. He went to Acre the other day in Auburn, which is actually really nice. A lot of these places are kind of, you know, not quite as fancy. Acre is fancy, as you guys know, but it's mm-hmm. fantastic. I mean, it's one of the best restaurants I've ever eaten in. And but you know, he brought back this dessert, and I don't know if you saw it. It looked like cornbread, and he said it's lacquer covered. Now, to me, when I think of lacquer, and I'm not very, you know, well inclined at home. But it's something like you spray on something before you're going to paint it or something. So that didn't sound appetizing to me. And then I had it, and it would have been great if it was not 34 degrees. You know, Todd, I think, had kept it in the refrigerator in his room for a day and a half. So I'm hoping this week it'll not only be something that's actually edible when it's presented as it's supposed to be, but might actually be presented as it's supposed to be.
I tell you what.
But I don't know where it's going. I don't pick. You know, on our per diem, you know, at ESPN, and Wes can travel, we're not getting to Acre very often. You know what I'm saying?
I know this much. A couple of weeks ago, given the fact of our family background in Pennsylvania, I couldn't help but be proud when he brought out the pierogies. I was like, man, you're going old school now. I mean old school when you're up there in Pittsburgh.
Again, Right? And they were delicious. But when they brought them out, Brittany Hofstadt, who's our terrific stage manager, said in the commercial right before, don't eat this on TV. Because it was like freezing cold, right? Now, when we heated it up, it was delicious. So people don't know the hardships I go through.
That's, that's exactly right. That's what we were going to. That's what we wanted to get down to. Yeah.
I want to do, and that would be an excuse to play golf on Friday, golf courses of America. Golf courses in college football locations. That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'll
bring
talking
him a
about.
Sleeve of golf balls or a bag of tees from some really nice golf course somewhere around the college football landscape.
Go to Chapel Hill, put it in the ground at Old Chatham. I get it. I mean, why wouldn't you, right? I mean, just right there. See? There you go, McDonough. We could have
I've seen pictures. I have friends who are members there, as usual. Do you have friends? Maybe it's probably just me. I have the friends. Hey, I'm a member at Old Chatham. Look at the picture of this. Isn't it awesome? I'll take you there someday. And then it's like the old country song, if the phone don't ring, it's me. Because, you know, the phone don't ring. I've heard Old Chatham's great. I'll probably drive by it this weekend. And
you can't see. I can't see it from the road, Sean.
The Governor's Club, Sean. Your late great dad, one of my great golf experiences I ever had. Mostly because we had a rain delay and we had to hide in a house that was under construction during this thunderstorm. And your dad told some of the greatest stories I've ever heard. It was the only time I've ever been in a rain delay in golf where I didn't want it to end. So, so Woody could keep telling stories.
By the way, you can't see Old Chatham from the road like most really good golf courses, Sean.
Well, now you're hitting a touchy subject because we just had a renovation at Boston Golf Club. They redid the practice range. You know, typical golf in America. Let's redo the practice range that nobody ever uses and spend a lot of money to do it. And in doing so, they took down a bunch of trees. And there's this road, Route 53, that runs along. And now it's like the Indy 500. And not only on the practice range, because no one would see the cars, because no one's going to be on that practice range, the little short game area. But on the sixth and seventh holes now, you hear the cars going by. So, you know, the strategy for most people who run golf courses should be, but first, do no harm. You know, like any board, but first, do no harm.
That's it. I'm with you.
I'm sure ECC Nation is really different by that. There's nothing worse than golf course politics.
That's
anyway,
it. That's right. Hey, you're the man.
By the way, you're talking about Blackledge, Taste of the Town. Is there anybody better at this than Todd? I mean, when you watch a game, I mean, there might be
Taste of the Town.
Good.
Now, let me say this.
No, I don't mean
Taste of the town would be Packer. Well, yes. Yeah. Seriously.
There's evidence to suggest
that he would be fantastic.
Let me just say this. If Blackledge and I walked into a room of 100 people who had no idea who we were, and you said to them, one of these people is a food expert, guess, A or B, I even FPI would get it right.
That's right.
That I would be the winner in the correct answer
FPI.
To the question.
FPI.
Yeah.
Always reliable. I forget about it the second after I look. I mean, I just don't, you know, so it could be accurate every single time. I just don't know. And you're right. And the only reason that happens is Todd gets on the elliptical or the treadmill or something every day and, you know, or pretty close to every day and really gets at it.
That's good.
After it. And he's genetically blessed, you know, along those lines. You know, some of us just look at food and, you know, it's, I'm one of those people. But Todd, you know. And he does eat all that food. I mean, when you see all that food sitting in front of him, he eats all of it. I have a little taste of that and a little bite of that. He eats it all.
That's what it's there for.
Hey, man. Appreciate the time as always. Safe travels.
Good to see you. Where's your game this week, Wes?
I am I'm at the Horseshoe in Durham for Pitt and Duke at homecoming.
Oh. Well, there you go. Yeah. Got a big game for Pitt. Ha, Pitt. I mean, come on. You know. We just got off the air. Oh, a statement win. This is the one that changes your program, the trajectory. Yeah. You know, this is the one that, and then one week later.
There you go.
Here comes.
Got it.
You
know. All right.
Good luck. Have
See you
fun.
Soon. Be well. Sean McDonough, always
bye
great
bye.
With his time.
So long, everybody.
So long, everybody. That's it. Taste of the Town with Todd and Molly coming up on Saturday from Chapel Hill. When we come back, field hockey honors are next. On Packer and Durham, we roll to a 10 o'clock finish here on a Thursday. And we got the players of the year and more for you, Mr. Packer.
I love it.
Coming up next on ACC.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, final segment of show 495. Many thanks to Sean McDonough, who just joined us, True Pro.
Yep.
And Wes will be up there in the triangle with him, right across, right down the road. Wallace Wade Outdoor
Stadium. 8 miles away.
Yes, sir.
That's it. Let's get to the honors here, shall we? This is fun for us always to do on Packer and Durham. The 2021 All-ACC Field Hockey Team. The honors here. We've got the Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, and Freshman of the Year, along with the Coach of the Year. The Offensive Player of the Year is Aaron Mattson of North Carolina, who wins it for a record-tying fourth time.
No surprise.
Regular season champion Louisville also gets the league's remaining major field hockey awards. Cardinals senior Allie Bidding was recognized as the Defensive Player of the Year. Louisville goalkeeper Maya DeCoyer was selected as the conference's Freshman of the Year in a vote by the league head coaches. And Justine Sowery, who's been with us before, received the nod as the ACC Coach of the Year. Mattson becomes the second field hockey student-athlete to be voted Offensive Player of the Year four times, joining former Maryland All-America Katie O'Donnell from 2007 to 2010. How about that?
Impressive.
Yes, sir. You got that right.
You know, you felt Louisville was coming on last year, right? Mm-hmm. North Carolina was still dominant, did their thing, won the national championship, yep. But you knew Louisville was going to be a factor.
And Justine Sowery, by the way, the Cardinals are the top seed. They went 16-2 overall. They were 6-0 in conference play. And she was honored for the first time since the Cardinals joined the league in 2014.
And she's a joy to talk to.
Yep. Really enjoyed our visit.
As we tell her, the strangest accent in the Commonwealth is Justine. She's got it going on. Yeah, but they've got a great team.
From down under.
Down under.
ACC Field Hockey Championships are part of our What's to Watch For. What to Watch For brought to you by Squarespace. And great to have those folks aboard with us here.
Outstanding that Squarespace.
Yeah.
Saw the light.
Quarterfinals today on ACC Network, and here they are, friends. The 5-seed Virginia, the 4-seed BC, number 7 Duke, and number 2 Syracuse at 3:30. And then at 6 o'clock tonight, number 6 Wake Forest, and number 3 North Carolina, right here on ACC Network. So you stick around for the replay, and then at 1 o'clock, field hockey the rest of the way.
Exactly right. And I'm done tonight at 6 p.m. because Coach K, Basketball and Beyond, has his radio show on SiriusXM Channel 84.
Dial in the old nightcap.
That's it. Perfect timing.
There you go. Soccer scoreboard from yesterday. We had first-round action on the men's side.
Chalk.
Yep. The number 7 seed North Carolina beat the 10 seed Syracuse in double overtime. 1-0, 106th minute, by the way. Syracuse outshot Carolina, but Alex Smear, 4 saves in recording the clean sheet.
And, you know, Carolina was a man down when I was watching it late last night. Syracuse just couldn't figure it out, man.
Yep.
Couldn't figure it out.
Notre Dame, the 5 seed, beat NC State, the 12 seed, 1-0. Virginia Tech gets Boston College in overtime, 1-0. And then last night, the 6 seed Wake Forest shut out Virginia, the 11 seed, 3-0. Holden Brown, 10 saves and goal for Virginia, but Omar Hernandez and Kyle Holcomb, Leo Guarino, all markers for Wake Forest.
John Curry's got it going on in Winston, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Everything they're touching turning to gold right now for Wake.
So soccer there for sure, and you'll get the rest of that coverage, of course, coming up on ACC Network as well. So there you go. Up to date all the way.
Like it. And the men's soccer, as I mentioned, they get going back on campus on Sunday.
Yes, sir.
Right? All chalk. Top 8 seeds have moved on.
Thanks to Sean McDonough. Thanks to Will Shipley, who was fantastic.
Really good.
Mark Herzlick joined us as well. He'll be in Tallahassee for Florida State and NC State. That's game 2 of our triple header here on Saturday. Tomorrow, full previews of all the games. 1 stat to go and all that.
Eric McLean was supposed to be sitting right over there tomorrow.
And he's not.
Now it's a fake left, go right. He's been reassigned.
No suite needed tonight.
Nope.
Because old Reliable will be here tomorrow.
That's why they call it Packer and Durham.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, that's it. So be here tomorrow. Look forward to seeing you. We'll have a nice, fun show. Dabo Swinney joins Pack on off-campus this afternoon.
Yep.
You'll hear parts of that tomorrow. We got to thank a bunch of people. Ross Taylor helped us out.
All the SIDs.
Always appreciate that. The great SIDs job. Doing some great work for us. Josh Macri, Drew Brooks, the legendary Jen Milkovich was here today.
On piano.
Matt and Hank on the back row. Mikey C on loan from Marty and McGee in the bunkers. See you tomorrow, 7 a.m. on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.